Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yesterday, we're in John chapter 8, and I just want to contemplate a little bit more about that and look at some other things. One of the most important phrases that's been used in church history is the phrase, the vicarious humanity of Christ. We know that the Lord at the cross paid for our sins, but so much more was accomplished than that in both his life and death and resurrection. At the cross, there was a recreation. Fallen humanity was crucified in him, and he recreated us in his resurrection as new creatures in union with him, participating in him, sharing his nature. For he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's amazing. It's stunning. It's more, so much more than sins forgiven. It's so much more than just receiving the Holy Spirit. It's so much more than going to heaven one day. It's that he made you into something totally new. And he did that in his vicarious humanity. The word vicarious just means on behalf of or in substitution of. That was also true about his life and the way that he lived. And the story that we looked at yesterday was that in my time with the Lord in prayer, the Lord just told me to go to John 8:6. And as I turned to John 8:6, and in the sort of in the middle of the story of when these Pharisees and scribes brought this woman caught in adultery, Jesus is teaching near the temple. He's sitting down, he's teaching. There's a group of people, there's a crowd around him. And when they bring this woman caught in adultery in, they brought her in and stood her in the midst. At that point, as this chaos happened, Jesus and the rest of the crowd stood also. And then they went after Jesus. They did this to test him, to see if he would prove himself to be a good Mosaic Jew. Because they said, look, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. What it says about her is that she should be stoned to death. What do you say? And the language there is that they said that to him again and again. They're like pushing him. And so Jesus' response to them was to stoop down. Because they're all standing. The woman standing in front of him is to stoop down before her and before all of them. And then the right in the dirt. And there's been a lot of conjecture about what he wrote in the dirt. This is just the gospel according to Chucky. But I don't think it's an error when you look at the rest of Scripture. I believe that what Jesus did is that he, in this moment, kind of gave a picture of the incarnation. And that he stooped down before her. They brought her to expose her dirt, to humiliate her, had no concern about her redemption. They just wanted to catch Jesus breaking a Mosaic law. And they didn't care that she was embarrassed and exposed and humiliated. But in humility, because God's love is in humility, he stooped down. Jesus, who came to reveal the truth about what the Father is actually like, stooped down. God clothed in humanity, stooped down before this one, and I believe wrote in the dirt. He got down in the dirt with her and was writing words of grace and mercy. He was writing a new story that gave her hope. He did it a second time also. And in thinking about that more and more all day long, it just blew my doors off about this is who our God is. Jesus was giving a picture, again, to these Jews who didn't really understand that God was love. Remember, at one point in John chapter 5, they wanted to kill him because he had healed a guy on the Sabbath. But then they really wanted to kill him when he addressed God as his Father. Because they never would refer to God as Father. They saw God as a perfectionist. That God was obsessed with right and wrong. He was holy, and he is holy. What makes him so holy, the most holy thing about him, the most perfect thing about him, is that God is love. Now understand again in this story, Jesus didn't say to this woman, look, this is I'm a God of love, and therefore go do all the adultery you want to do. If that's what you want to do, just go be yourself. He didn't say that. At the end of the story, it says that he told her, now go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. And so I wrote a little thing yesterday that it's not just that Jesus didn't come to condemn us. Jesus came to not condemn us. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. He came intentionally to not condemn us. He clothed himself in our humanity. It says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, that he wore sinful flesh. Jesus never sinned. And yet he was tempted in every way like unto us. Every way. Now the thing about temptation is it's tempting. That's what makes it temptation. And yet Jesus never gave in to the sin. But he was tempted in every way. Think of the most hideous kind of things that people have done. All of humanity, past, present, future, and all those temptations Jesus took, he understood, he experienced them. He clothed himself in our sinful flesh, in our broken humanity. God stooped down. Why would God do that? This is God. And yet the second person of the Godhead said the solution for them is death and resurrection. We can't just do a patch-up job. Humanity has to experience death and resurrection. But we're going to come and clothe myself in their humanity and their brokenness and fallenness and face everything they've ever faced and overcome it without sin. And then carry broken humanity to the cross, crucify the old, raise up anew. But think about that. Jesus came, God chose to become human. Forever, ever God, but he also clothed himself in humanity. He'll forever be the God-man. Revelation tells us that his scars are still visible in his humanity. Jesus came, God stooped down. This is who he is. This is important to understand because if we don't really get the nature of God, we really don't understand the goodness of God and the love of God, it'll be very difficult for us to walk in the level of trust and radical obedience that God calls us to experience all that he is and all that he has for us. But God's goodness, his divine madness, his love for us caused him to become human, clothed himself. He stooped down, clothed himself in your junk and my stuff, your stuff and my stuff, carried that for 33 years. He stepped into our dirt and with his own hand wrote a whole new story for us. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God. He didn't change her. He didn't tell her, go and sin no more, because he had threatened her and condemned her. How many Christians do that? How many Christian leaders do that? Putting people under condemnation and guilt, thinking somehow that's going to motivate them to not sin. Jesus came to not condemn us. He came to clothe himself in our brokenness and get down in our dirt and write a whole new story. That's who he is. Again, that's the gospel. Sadly, so few Christians understand the gospel. We're still so burdened, like these Pharisees were. We've thrown it all back on ourselves. It's all about my performance for him. Me trying to write a story for him because I love him. But he came, clothed himself in your dirt to write your story with his hand. It's all grace. And so Jesus came not to condemn us, but to get down in the dirt with us. And change your story and mine. And now my story and your story is now his story. Because we're in union with him. That's amazing. I came, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.